Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, May 25th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 5, the 6th paragraph that begins with renewing my resolve, ending with I might as well get good and drunk then. And I did. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Barbara W., who will be reading the 12 steps, Alice A. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Mary B. and Tricia D. The share ID for Tuesday, May 24th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,988, 18988. This morning's Wednesday, May 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 18,991. 18991. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Barbara W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Barbara. Barbara, can you press star 1 to unmute?
Sorry about that. Here we go. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Barbara W. And Alice A., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Thank you. This is Alice A., recovered compulsive eater in Alabama. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself.
Alice, we lost you. Can you press star 1 to unmute again?
Do you hear me now?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. The number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Alice A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except a speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the big book. We're on page 5, the 6th paragraph that begins with, renewing my resolve, ending with, I might as well get good and drunk then. And I did. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph. And Mary B., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you, everyone who's on the line doing service today and everyone that showed up. Welcome to the newcomer. My name is Mary B., and I am a grateful, recovered, but not cured compulsive overeater. I'm on page 5 of Bill's story, last paragraph. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed and confidence began to be replaced by cocksuredness. I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it takes. One day I walked into a cafe to telephone. In no time, I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. As the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I would manage better next time. But I might as well get good and drunk then, and I did. Before I start, I'd just like to say something as a side note. Not quite sure what's going, maybe a lot of things emotionally are going on with me recently, but I just feel like crying my eyes out right now. So if I break down, you'll all know why, or I don't even know why. Just feel over emotional right now. I definitely can relate to Bill and to this paragraph. By the way, cocksuredness, the definition is perfect assurance without good reason. Perfect assurance without good reason. For me, what I was constantly going on a diet, always looking for a new diet because I had to get rid of this excess weight. And what I would do is I would binge all weekend. I give myself permission to binge all weekend, and then Monday morning, National Diet Day, I would start the diet. I'd let's say 9 a.m. I'd have the diet breakfast, whatever that consisted of. And then I swore I'm going to have that diet lunch at noon. I'm all prepared. I got the, you know, and not even by 10 a.m. I'm back into the food and cursing myself a weakling saying, what is wrong with you? Why can't you even stay on a diet? You're so fat. You're so ugly. You're so disgusting. You're not sexually attractive to the opposite sex. You're a loser. And that would be the continuum I would be going through my mind at all times. And that would actually feed and propagate my disease, because my disease loves that kind of stuff. It loves to keep me in that, in a position where I'm down low, or I feel less than when I feel lower than. Let me see something else. Yeah, and as he says here, as the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I'd manage better the next time. So again, it was, well, when Monday morning comes, I'll get on that diet again. This time I'll lose the weight. I'll be okay. Everybody will love me, you know, and on that psychobabble. Well, thanks be to the program, Overeaters Anonymous. Woo. Sorry, fellas and girls. Woo. Feel like crying. Next Tuesday, I'll have 5 years of back-to-back abstinence after 34 years of chronic relapse. And it's just been amazing that I haven't had all those sick thoughts going through my head, that I've actually enjoyed my life for the past 5 years. And I've been able to sponsor so many lovely women and just have enjoyed it. And I know the difference. I know what it's like to be a living dead. And now I know what it's like to be living and alive and vibrant and useful and a part of. And I've been a part of this fellowship for almost 5 years. June 2nd, 2017 was the first time I ever listened to Vision. And I'm just so impressed with the Vision for You and what they've showed me, because I'd read the big book for years in the program, for 34 years. I just didn't get it. I just didn't get the message. Was that my time, Kathy? Kathleen?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for allowing me to share. Looking forward to everybody else to share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary B., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 5, the 6th paragraph, renewing my resolve, ending in, I might as well get good and drunk then, and I did. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Robin.
Wendy B.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard, okay? Let me tell you who I heard. I heard Melanie C., Elaine G., Roz, Wendy, I think it's B., Robin from Costa Rica, Tanya. I'll get your initials when you come in. And did I miss anybody?
Laura W.
Laura W. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, and then when you say your name, if you'll say your last initial and the state you're calling from, that would be wonderful. So start with Melanie, followed by Elaine. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Canby, Oregon. And I just was feeling this and visualizing this, especially when Mary was sharing, and the feeling in my heart of that same kind of thing, that this is a miracle for me. I did not understand for a moment that I had a real disability, a real situation that needed a particularly different kind of treatment. And I had continued to treat it the same way over decades of my life, and just pounding and pounding and pounding my head of why I couldn't break through. And I was remembering those times when the renewing of my resolve, it was like everything was sunny, everything was brilliant, no matter what the weather was outside, and everything was in place. I found that new plan that promised to deliver, and it had all those elements that I knew that I was going to be able to follow through with. It was going to have a little bit of intuitive eating. It was going to have a little bit of things that are good and healthy for me, and I had the energy and the spark within me to create all these things, to cook all these things, to do the things that I needed to do and get to that gym and be outside and do the running that I was doing. And it was all there. It was all in place. And it felt so natural and normal. And I remember telling me my good friend, trying to get her on the bandwagon again because I was quite an influencer, thought that I was, that I was never going to have to face obesity again. Never going to have to. Things were great. My mind was clear. I could see it. And I had the answer, and I was all in. I was all in. And I would imagine my other self or somebody that really understood the disease of addiction on the outside of me just kind of thinking, poor girl. Poor girl, she's not going to get it. The day's going to come again, and she's going to be in that place, that dark place of, you know, trying to make that ultimate decision. Are you going to go on living anymore? Are you going to do what you need to do anymore? And they're out there watching me do this stuff, lying to myself, compounding and compounding the twisted thinking. The twisted thinking on the high side and then the low side of twisted thinking. Okay, well, I'll just smudge it or fudge and have just this little bit again. I'll just go this area one more time, or I'll skip the exercise plan just this day because I know I can start over in the morning. I know I have it within me to muster up the same excitement that I had for a couple of weeks in the same way. Constantly, constantly the victim of, imprisoned by, the twisted thinking because I did not know I had an untreated disability that needed a treatment. And it wasn't until I came here that I learned exactly what it was that I had and the freedom that it was going to be delivered to me and the miracle upon my life after, what, 5 decades before, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. from Oregon. And Elaine G., you're up, followed by Roz. Go ahead, Elaine.
Hi, this is Elaine G. from New York. Glad to be here. I never want to miss this meeting. I try not to anyway. It's very spiritual. But anyway, I compulsively ate last night over, I don't know, that I couldn't go over to my sister's assisted living that had this fun day because actually it was my decision because they were going to give me a COVID test and... yes, I had COVID, but I took a home test, and it seems like always these rapid tests come out positive, and I guess I didn't want to go through that, you know? But, you know, like I told my sponsor that I compulsively ate, and it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that good. She says, well, it happens. I keep on thinking how I don't have a big book sponsor, and I feel like part of me is empty, you know? So I'm going to look for another sponsor, and we talk 5 minutes on the phone. That's it, 5 minutes. We got through these questions. Anyway, so this morning, you know, as I say in the big book, I had the, you know, I didn't care. I didn't care this morning that what happened, and but I do care. Ever since I've had COVID, that people that go near me have to have the test. I'm very, very fearful. But anyway, you know, the question I had was about insanity. And what I was doing last night was insanity, you know, thinking that I'm going to feel better. And the next day I feel crappy, you know. But anyway, I'm feeling better, you know, from 2 weeks ago when I had the COVID, my cough's getting better. Coffee actually helps. Coffee. I could actually drink it this morning. But anyway, that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. And Roz G., is it? Followed by Wendy B.
Good morning. My name's Roz G., and I'm from Palmdale, California, in the county of Los Angeles. Thanks for everybody's shares. And I got a couple of little light bulbs that hit me this morning with this reading. And that was, first was the cocksuredness. And, you know, to me today that translates into arrogant, snotty, know-it-all. And I have had practice with being an arrogant, snotty know-it-all. And one who is, you know, needs you to know all of my accomplishments and remind you of them and get on Facebook and tell you where I am and what I've accomplished and what I'm doing and put it in all caps, you know. And to me, that's just a sign that I'm not, you know, that I'm insecure, that I'm not sure of who I am and that I, you know, need to keep telling you. And God, you know, with this diminishing of my ego and being reduced at depth, I don't have to do that anymore. I can just be myself. I like, you know, the movie Aladdin where he goes, be yourself. That's me. That's who I just want to be today. And, you know, with the keep trying it over and over, you know, to this day, there's some ladies in my church that are selling a diet and they're on Facebook showing their before and after pictures. And you know what? That kind of reels me in, you know, as a fish in the water. And, you know, and as it says in our book, we don't look down on people who still do that. And I talked to them and I said, thank you. That's really lovely. I'm happy for you. Good for you. But that's something I can't do today. Those diets look attractive, but I've learned, like everybody else, that it doesn't work. I need to stay on my food plan. I need to give my food away to, you know, let my person that I tell my food to know every day, or at least I try. Some days I don't. Let her know what I'm eating. Practice humility, being another bozo on the bus, and listening and learning and helping. That's a good basis for life. And it's taking me farther than I ever thought it would. Thank you, and I pass. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Roz G in California. And Wendy B, you're up, followed by Robin P. Go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And I can really relate to that line, you know, some time passed and confidence began to be replaced by cocksuredness. You know, as I've maintained my abstinence for years now, I can let a sense of, you know, I'm immune to the lure of my addictive substances creep in, you know, and I can start taking my abstinence for granted, you know, and I can start feeling like, it's me and my self-discipline keeping me abstinent, you know, instead of keeping fresh the awareness that, you know, it's a gift from God, you know, that he's the one keeping me abstinent. He's the one that led me to OA so I could find recovery. You know, he's the one that even gave me a desire to change my destructive habits, you know, and embrace abstinence. And he's the one that orchestrated my circumstances to get me to the place of being so uncomfortable in my body that I was willing to change. And, you know, he put people in my life who were, excuse me, neutral around food so I could recognize, you know, what it looked like and see clearly how much my substances controlled me. And, you know, he gave me an ideal to have no other gods before him, and that I can only serve one master, and I had to choose if it was going to be food or my creator. And you know, food only offered me empty promises of satisfaction, but my creator offers me true satisfaction and contentment, you know. So I chose and I continue to choose, you know, with God's strength every day to let him meet my need and satisfy me so I don't need to fill up on junk and other things. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. in Arizona. And Robin, you are up, followed by Tanya. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I went through so many times of this, oh my gosh, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, you know, over and over. And this time would be different. And, you know, just Russian roulette. Just as soon as I started binging and vomiting or whatever I was doing, or starving or compulsively overeating, I just didn't have a chance, you know, and I just would always be shocked, like, how did this happen again? I was positive, but I didn't have a solution. I just had a resolve without any game plan, you know, and now I have the steps and the fellowship, and I do have a solution today. So I don't get caught unaware like that. Like, how did this nightmare happen again? God forbid, you know? And I get to live in steps 10, 11, and 12, and that mental obsession that would lead me back to the food, I have a solution now. I get to, you know, when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I actually get to do a 10th step, 11 and 12, and they get to be of service to God and my fellows. And, you know, Bill didn't, in these paragraphs leading up to when he does get sober, he just keeps getting baffled because he didn't have a solution. He didn't have a game plan. And I'm so grateful that I just get to follow in the footsteps of success, the people who've gone before me, and be a role model, hopefully, to the people who I sponsor. So anyway, I'm just so grateful to be abstinent today and in recovery. And, you know, I'm living the life of beyond my wildest dreams. It's just like not even on the same planet as when I was in the food. And I'm just so grateful. People used to think I was so depressed because I wasn't. Now people think I'm so joyful because I am. And that's recovery in action. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. And Tanya, you're up, followed by Laura W. Go ahead, Tanya. Darwin to unmute, Tanya.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for your service. My name is Tanya G., gratefully recovered by God's grace. Wow, this is an awesome paragraph. Thank you for everyone's share. You know, I was thinking about that cop shortness. So many times I thought I had it made. I was thinner than this person. I was thinner than that. Why aren't they saying I was so big in high school? Why aren't they making a comment that I've lost so much weight? And then only to be devastated with, you know, stuffing my face because of the cock shortness, thinking I had it made. I didn't have anything made, thinking I could juice it, even in still going to meetings, you know, to detox after a binge, hop off, get right back on, that high resolve. By the grace of God, I can be neutral with food today. And I just thank you for everyone's share. And welcome to all the newcomers, returning members. This program does work if I work it. And y'all have a beautiful day. Thank you. And I'm past.
Thank you, Tanya G. And Laura, before we take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 5, the 6th paragraph, renewing my resolve, ending in I might as well get good and drunk then. And I did. And I'll be taking some more names after Laura. So go ahead, please, Laura.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. It's Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And what really jumps out at me in this paragraph is all the I's that he uses. You know, now I have what it takes. Now I would manage better. I might as well get good and drunk. You know, he's so into himself. And it's such, when I really think about these paragraphs and I think about how can I identify with Bill, it's humbling. It's very humbling. I lived my life in the disease for so many years thinking that I had it made. And I was told when I was a kid that I could do anything. If I set my mind to it, I could be and do anything. And that's, my parents were so supportive in that. But this is one thing that I couldn't do. You know, this isn't something that I can pull myself up by my bootstraps from and do it. I remember my dad saying to me, if you're hungry, you eat. If you're not hungry, you don't eat. That is so simple. And I was like, I didn't understand that. I'm like, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop starving myself. And, you know, this is the disease, you know, this is the disease that tells you you don't have a disease. And if somebody said to me and said, Laura, I'm really sorry you have cancer, but the prognosis of full recovery is really, really good if you take this medication, I'm not going to say, nah, I got it. I could do it by myself. Don't worry about it. And that's what I thought of in the disease. Like, I could handle this. You know, this isn't affecting anybody. Well, you know, what do you care? I could handle it. And the arrogance that's driven by the compulsion was so great. And that's what's happening with Bill here. You know, it's his arrogance and his constant compulsion and the obsession of the mind, which is the bigger aspect of the disease. You know, and until I came into program many years ago, well over 25 years ago, I couldn't realize that surrender is not a weakness. Surrender is a strength. And action is what's required, not just willingness. Willingness is great, but willingness without action is just fantasy. You know, it's just like wishing for something and praying to something that, you know, can't help me if I don't take the action. You know, I've always been told that, you know, wanting something is not enough. I have to take the action. So I'm grateful for the last 17 years I've been taking action on a daily basis. You know, some days are better than others. I've been abstinent the whole time, and that's great, but abstinence is just the beginning. You know, I mean, to manage the anger and the fear and the resentment and the anxiety and the selfishness, you know, that's where the real work is for me. So I'm grateful to be able to identify in, and I'm grateful to see in Bill the insanity, but also see myself. Thanks for letting me share, Akash.
Thank you, Laura W. in New Jersey. Okay, if you have not shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on the sixth paragraph on page 5, Annie
Dionne.
Okay, Lean, I'd like to share.
G. Who came in after Gaylene? With a one-syllable name? Okay. I think someone came in, but I didn't get your name. I have Annie, Dionne, and I think it was Gaylene. Anyone else? Betsy G. Oh, Betsy G. Okay, we'll stop with those. And a couple of you, I missed your initial, so if you could give your initial of your last name, the first initial, and where you're calling from. I have Annie, Dionne, Gaylene, and Betsy. So go ahead, please, Annie.
Hi, thank you. Annie B., recovered compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. What I think is so funny about this paragraph is the word renewing my resolve. it makes me laugh because I can relate, but what I've found in this recovery and in this abstinence and in this dependence on God's power is that my resolve is worth literally nothing. I feel bad that I'm laughing, but it's also just like humorous how long I thought that I could renew my resolve and that I could be the answer to my problem and that I could fix it, that I would have any resolve to do that. And today it feels so good to surrender and to surrender my food plan and to surrender my life because my resolve is worth zero. Like it has no amount of value when it comes to overeating, when it comes to compulsive overeating. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Annie B. from Oregon. And Dionne R., you are up, followed by Gaylene. Good morning, Dionne.
Good morning, all. My name is Dionne R. Thank you all for your service. And Dionne R. from Ohio. And renewing my resolve. And I also want to give a shout out to everyone who just shared, because that's what inspired me to share today. It was so, I didn't identify with everything everyone said, at least something I did. Just especially with the twisted thinking of how my mind was so twisted and thinking, I got this. It took 23 years, but I got this, you know. But thank God I had to replace that cocksureness with the 12 steps in my spiritual growth. And before that, it was to the program and also trusting people in Overeaters Anonymous to show me the way. And trusting that you know, that my weight and my weight wouldn't get it. At one point, I said, okay, so what if I be fat the rest of my life? That's my choice, right? And then I would hear people in the program, and they would say stuff like, you know why they never say there's a, they always say the little old lady when people give description. And I was like, see, because there's not too many little fat ladies that live. And I was, you know, fat was racing around my heart and everything, heart conditions. I just didn't care. But after a while, God showed me a reason to care. And I finally surrendered. And the twisting of thinking I got it, because I maybe got an A in class. I was going to school at the time. And I think, oh, I got this. I'll just be in here and I'll be out. And the gift is, there were a lot of young people in the program. There still is. But they got older because I thought I would outgrow it. And they still here. Thank y'all, you know. And yes, y'all kept showing me that I can't outgrow it. I can't just come in here and say, I got this, paid my dollar at the meeting we had back then, you know, and I'm out. No. My charge is to freely give back and to, because I, as someone said too, I got so much. My higher power is giving me. That's the first thing, me. And I'm not a bad person. For me to say that after, you know, 30 years in the program, it's like, whoa. You know, so the last 10 years has been loving myself, growing and discovering through the pain and everything. But I tell you, for every ounce of pain I had prior to the program, even in the program, my higher power rewards me with tons of joy. I kid you not. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be reminded I don't have it all and I got to stay in this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion R. in Ohio. And Gaylene, you're up, followed by Betsy G.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me share the stories in my heart today. I'm Gaylene B., calling from Idaho. I am a winner of great resolve. I have great resolve. I can do anything. And what I have learned through the process of recovery is that I'm not taking care of the causes and conditions underneath my addiction, then they're going to continue to inflame or light the fire of my mind telling me that I can pick up. I apologize, I'm walking, so there are some cars going by me right now. And when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, oh gosh, at least 8 years ago, I was blessed to have a sponsor who said, I'd love to sponsor you, but I won't sponsor you until you know how your higher power wants you to eat for the rest of your life. For me, that was really important. I know that's not how everyone does it, but for me, it was super important. And I spent 9 months praying and asking and trying a low-protein diet, a raw diet, and just praying and seeking and asking. And when I was finally enlightened, if you will, about how my higher power wanted me to eat, it was one of the most spiritual experiences that I've had in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. So then with that knowledge, I think, oh, now I have the power, right, to do it. And my resolve set in, and I ate that way 100%. I lost a lot of weight. But then not taking care of the causes and conditions inside of me that would continually cause a buildup of human emotion, every time something big or hard in my life came up, I would relapse. And so I'm a chronic relapser. I am grateful for the work of all 12-step programs, not just this one, that have helped me do the healing work in my causes and conditions. I'm 9 days abstinent today, and God willing, I'll be able to stay abstinent. I now know, oh dear, here comes a big garbage truck. This is going to be loud. I now know that the key to that power is actually humility, surrender, and letting go. Something I didn't know before. I thought it was all about reserve, stamina, putting that, you can do this. But it's been beautiful to learn that through letting go and surrender and just quietly listening to my higher power one day at a time, I can have abstinence. So I'm really grateful for this program and all your encouraging shares, and I'll leave that with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Gaylene B. in Idaho. And Betsy G., go ahead. But real quickly, Betsy, if I could just remind everyone, we're on page 5, the 6th paragraph. And after Betsy, we'll be able to take a couple more names, I think. So go ahead, Betsy. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Betsy G. from Colorado. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And the sentence that stuck out to me is the almost the last one. As the whiskey rose in my head, I told myself I would manage better next time, but I might as well get good and drunk then. That was my MO. If I broke a diet or I broke my abstinence, I had a license to eat. Until someone in this program said to me, 24 hours can start any time of the day. And that helped me so much get to the place where, because I'd broken my abstinence, I didn't have to continue eating. I didn't have to get good and drunk then. And it's only through getting abstinent, as it says in the doctor's opinion, that I can start, I can be at a place where I can start working these steps so that I can have that spiritual awakening, which will free me. And I'm grateful today that somebody gave me that little key that helped me let go of that license to get good and drunk. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Betsy G. in Colorado. Okay, I can take two more people. Would anyone else like to share on page 5, the 6th paragraph?
Diane.
Diane Grace. Okay, I heard Diane, and who came in after Diane?
Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
Lauren Grace, okay. Okay, go ahead, please, Diane.
Hi, I'm Diane, and a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater from Georgia. And I absolutely love this Bill's story because there's so much I can relate to. I'm reminded that I'm a chronic relapser, but it reminds me of all the things I've tried. This high resolve, that word just jumps out at me because I'm reminded of a compulsive overeater doing the same thing over, insanity, doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. For over 40 years, or almost 40 years, I kept doing the same thing. I would have this high resolve. This time it's going to be better. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna eat this way, and I'm going to be abstinent. I'm just going to eat one, and things are going to be different. I won't have to keep eating it because it's going to be different this time because of my high resolve. And in my cocksureness, you know, if I've been abstinent for a few hours in the past, I would say, okay, you know, I got it now. I understand. But I always went back to eating because I'm powerless. I had the insanity, and I couldn't follow the directions because I was too busy trying to do things my way. That's the insanity of this disease. For the last 2.5 years, I received a gift of desperation, and I was able to just, okay, Diane, just follow the directions. So I am so grateful for that miracle, and it is a miracle because for years I was a chronic relapser, not just a relapser, but chronic. I just couldn't get it, and I couldn't get it because I wouldn't refuse to follow the to do the work that was needed. And it, like I heard someone say, it's a simple program. It was just too simplistic for me. I thought I knew what was better. But anyway, thank you guys for letting me share, and I am so grateful to have received this miracle. So please keep coming back. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Diana in Georgia. Lauren Grace B. in New Jersey, you are up.
Hi, my name is Lauren Grace B. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph just throws me into the kitchen of my previous home. And I just see myself, whenever I hear a paragraph like this, it just puts me right back there. I see myself making cookies in the kitchen at night and using that as an excuse not to go upstairs to bed with my husband, eating cookies, so usually eating more cookie dough than cookies, and having to wash it down with orange juice because it was so thick and greasy. I just had to do that to cut the butter. And then at the end of the night, resolving, I will not do this again, and taking a solemn oath, actually, to God. God, I swear to you, I will not do this again. Yesterday, I appreciated somebody giving the definition of resolve, that I solved the problem. I tried again, and it didn't work, and I prayed and asked for God's help, but still it didn't work. And the reason it didn't work was because of the idea of powerlessness. I just had no idea that I was powerless, that God had to do it for me, that it wasn't just his help that I needed. And then he talks about beating on the bar and asking myself how it happened. I so remember that feeling as well, when I would break my solemn oath and eat things that I knew would make me eat more, just beating on the bar and thinking, how could I have let this happen again? How did I do this again? and then get good and drunk just reminds me of my last binge. I have not been abstinent since 2016, but I have not had a binge. But before I came back to OA in 2016, I had the binge to beat all binges. I just binged myself up and down the boardwalk because I knew that I would not be eating these foods again in the future, maybe forever, which I haven't. And just waking up that morning with an actual hangover, it's the only time it happened to me, a food hangover where I felt like I had been drinking all night. I'm just so grateful for this program that gives me another option, and so great for the Big Book way of working this program that allows me to work on my spiritual life and my connection with God, because without that, I truly do believe, like many others say, it's just a diet club with support. And that's all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Tricia D., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to do service today. This is Tricia D., compulsive overeater from Georgia. Our book was meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,